Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on Earth! Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast! You'll gasp, you'll laugh, and you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Hi.
And Matt Redshaw.
Hello.
Welcome.
We're at your house. My
house.
I've got all the cushions.
Is it very? No, I've got...
Oh, you've got one.
I've got two.
Oh, good job.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Hey,
don't touch that.
Sorry. It's my friend.
We were setting up for that gig on Saturday night that we did together.
We did.
And James, your mate, King Herod, as we were walking back, he'd just shown me the setup for the room and we were walking back into the green room and somebody was coming through the front door and he saw them and he said, "Don't touch that."
Why not?
Exactly. And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "It's my penis." And he got it. He said, right. "Ah, it's the cave of no return." Brilliant. Good. He's a good man, your man, dude. James.
He is. I've seen him for a long time.
I like him. We're Facebook friends now.
I saw him on Saturday. Hmm. But before that, it'd been a while. He's a lovely man. I know so many nice people.
Yeah, you do.
I know we said this in a podcast before, but it's so comical to me that when people meet someone and they say, "Oh, I met blah, blah, blah. He was so lovely." And it's people are surprised that they meet nice people, but I really think most people are nice.
Hmm.
Hey, I noticed two things about your house.
Hmm.
One, that it must have been initial, like all the prior renovations, like the initial build, must have really considered having children in the house because so many of the light switches are low on the door frame.
I think every light switch in this house is in a different place.
Right.
A different height, a different place, either on the wall or on the door jamb. It's so bent. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, houses aren't... Well, you know, you've been to my house. It's bizarre.
I don't think your house is bizarre.
Oh, really?
No, I don't... You've said it before. I don't understand why it is.
It's because it's clear that it was slapped together in multiple stages.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. You play your cards right, you might get the same fate.
It's been a long time since I've been slapped together.
In multiple stages.
Singular stages. Let alone multiple ones. The other thing I noticed is that the hair product you use is called Matte Fudge.
Should be my stage name.
Matte Fudge. It's good.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, man. Two things you noticed about my house.
Oh, and the other thing is your toilet is cold. I noticed that before because most of the time I've been here, it's been winter, and I'm like, "Oh, the house is so toasty, it's so lovely." And then you go to the bathroom and you're like, "It's freezing in here."
Yeah. Gee, I'm sorry I don't have a heated toilet for you.
Well, yeah. Thanks for apologising. And the other thing I noticed...
Okay, this is thing four of two things I've noticed. Yes.
There's lots of animal fur in this house.
Oh, really? Where did you say animal fur?
On me. Now.
Oh, you're holding cushions.
Yes.
She doesn't get on this couch, though.
Well, that's the thing about animal fur. I told you about Liz's old dog, Toby, that ended up living with us. Old Labrador, my Labretriever, maybe. I think she was a mix.
Oh, okay.
But of course, you know, just hair everywhere. And I'd always been really against that. So I owned the Subaru.
Against it?
But you know, having dogs in the house was, because I grew up in the country, so dogs are never allowed in the house. It was never, and cats never allowed in the house. So. You never had animal hair in the house, right? And so I was that kind of thing, like animals are for outside. Or if you're going to get one that you want in the house, get one that doesn't shed. Because mainly...
I don't have a shed.
I know, I've seen your spare room.
Thing five of two.
I didn't notice that about your house. It was thrust upon me. But the animal hair thing. So what I've found, because prior to me being relatively healthy, I was allergic to everything. Hay fever season came around and I was like, you know, was a behavior like a manic depressive. I had to go to bed for 3 weeks. Animal hair too. I'd go to someone's house and they'd have a cat in the house and then the hair would get on me, be like, like as in chew. And so I thought,
you sound like Blakey from On the Buses.
I don't know what either of those things are.
Oh, dude.
Sorry.
I'll get you, butler.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll post a link to it in the show notes.
Please do.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
And so with animals, it was like, my idea was, you know, don't have those animals in the house, because when people come over who are allergic to stuff, and most people are these days, useless, then, you know, they'll be like, oh, you've got a cat, oh, I better not stick around, you know, because people sneeze and get puffy eyes and stuff.
I love that.
It's a good way to keep people from coming over. Yeah. And so, anyway, I owned this Subaru, and my ex-partner had this Labrador Retriever thing. And I was just going to go pick up Toby. I was like, could you put the sheet down, like, in the car? Because, you know, I know the dog, and, you know, it only takes one trip, and then you've got dog hair forever. And that dog died 2.5 years before I got rid of the car, and there's still dog hair 5 years later showing, like, that dog hair showing up in my life.
I was going to have to do maths today, but yeah. Yes.
So even after I got Sprocket, which I specifically got that breed of dog because it didn't shed, right? It's like, there is still Golden Retriever hair in my life 5 years after the dog's died. I've broken up with the girlfriend. I got rid of the car. I go into my wardrobe and pull a jacket out. There's still Labrador hair on this black jacket. Like, yeah, hilarious. Just the same as been single for 5 years. There's still bobby pins in my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Because this time 5 years ago, you was in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. And you came to meet me. Came to meet me in UK.
It's beautiful.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I've been practicing that song for the last 5 weeks, just in case it came up in conversation.
I practiced like the song today for 2 hours.
Did you?
Yeah.
What song?
Dire Straits song.
No, Dom drove 2 hours and 20 minutes to get to my house.
So far away. So far away. Yeah. Well, actually, not any further away than you are from me.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, it takes an hour and a half usually for me to get to yours.
Also, that's not too much more.
It's nearly an extra hour, dude.
Yes, that's... Yeah.
Bugger that for a bar of jalopy soap.
What if we both sold our houses and bought a house together in Melbourne?
Then we'd be like the monkeys.
In so many ways. Playing other people's songs and pretending they were ours.
Oh, I thought you meant throwing poo at one another.
I wasn't ruling it out. Yeah.
Bonobo House, welcome.
I like how you got specific with type of monkeys.
Mm.
I mean, you know.
Well, they have missionary sex.
They have all kinds of sex. They have diplomatic sex.
Eh?
Well, they have sex.
Is that like Bill Clinton?
No. It's diplomatic sex. What a jerk. I am so glad she didn't win.
Eh?
Hillary.
Oh. Hillary, you mean? Huh? Huh? Am I right? Huh? Fucking people shit me. Go on. Let's have a political discussion.
Well, let's have discussion about a country that we don't live in.
Yeah, Americans love that.
Well, I love that Australian politics is so boring that Australians actually generally only ever talk about American politics.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Mm. It's fairly serious.
In what respect?
It has an impact on...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. It's understandable people talk about it.
Yeah, it's a big economy.
Mm. Yeah. Plus, you're right, Australian politics is boring.
The thing about
Because bloody Barnaby Joyce's interview got more airtime than anything to do with Australian politics that entire month. That was fucking madness.
Of course it does. Yeah, I don't know. People ask me what I think about politics, and I go, I don't think about it, because I don't think it affects me. It's that thing, if you're not aware that something is happening, then you're not aware that it affects you, and then you question, then you can come up with the idea of, does it actually affect me? Because is the residual effect of whatever decisions are made in politics, which, if you're not aware of them, you're not aware of how they affect you. So therefore, you actually don't think they affect you. So
yeah, it's a bit like me and the fact that the seafood satay pie just got named best pie in Australia.
How is it like you?
It doesn't affect me because I'm not going to eat it. Chickens go in.
What, sea chickens?
Yeah, isn't there? Is
that tuna, the chicken of the sea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Mandy Moore?
No. Mandy Moore's
Jessica. Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, Mandy Moore's bright. She wouldn't do something like that.
Yeah. Do you remember Mandy Moore's song Candy?
I don't think I remember that one, but I don't actually remember the one that I'm thinking of, which was great. She had this.
I thought Candy really was too, but I looked it up after the last time I had a conversation with someone about it. It's not as good as I remember. You can never go back.
She had a really good one that was in Dom the wrote a vein song about that. Of Crush. You know, just a little crush. Similar to that, which I think Crush is a remarkably good song.
I think Candy sounds like that.
Maybe that's it then. Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of, and I can't remember it by name.
That kind of temper. I'm missing you like candy. No. Yeah. Mm. Good lyrics.
What do you think
about... I'm missing you like candy.
I think you're far less of a music snob than I am. In the sense of...
It's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
It's not the nicest thing I've ever said to you.
No, but in fairness, the last time you said a really nice thing to me, it was accompanied with a handful of poo.
Shit, friend.
Missionary sex butt. So... What happened?
So you do know a lot. You know more songs than I do. God, that's so hard for me to say.
Yeah, it's okay.
To perform,
oh, I see,
particularly vocally, and I think that might have to do with the fact that you've been a singer more of your life than I have. Like
know a lot more guitar riffs than I do.
There you go. So I think what comes with that, the fact that, you know, you've sung more, is that your repertoire seems to be much broader, and you tend to sing like lots of different songs. But so I don't know if you have a much greater musical tolerance than I do. But you know, you sing a lot of songs and you go, oh, that's a really fun song to sing, and things that songs I've never even heard of, because I've kind of, I don't know why, like, you know, I get my thing that I like and I tend to listen to that stuff, but that stuff is those songs, like, you know, bands like Doors, Mandy Moore, no one knows them, so you know, you don't play them very often, you know, or you don't even learn them because who would know what it was. So I find my response often is when someone asks for a song at a gig in particular, and I'm like, I've got no idea what that, I don't know what that is, and people get really annoyed with you because it's their favourite band or their favourite song. Play rah, rah, rah. I'm like,
oh, we've all had that.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, honestly, man, like, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't even know what that band is.
And of course, we now live in a world because, you know, 10 years ago. And then they come up, yes, exactly. 10 years ago, they'd just insist that you knew it and you would insist that you didn't, and never the twain shall meet. But now they just hold an iTunes list in front of you. This one.
Or even worse, they play the song and try and put an iPhone to your ear.
I love that.
During the gig.
That makes me laugh so much.
In the middle of your set. It's funny.
I love it.
I think it's great.
Because I'm still the guy with the microphone saying, yep, this doesn't help.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I don't know it.
And sometimes I don't know it by name, and then I do hear it go, oh, I've heard that. Or just, I don't know it by name, and it didn't trigger.
I've long said one of my favourite things is when people sing their requests at me. The one that goes, la, 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 something about a bridge. Yeah.
Do you know what is funny about that is how often we go, oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we don't do that. Yeah. I had that a lot this weekend. I reckon at least 5 times this past weekend someone came, do you know, blah, blah, no. And I still, and I've said it before on this podcast a number of times, still stunned at how many times I get asked for something I've never been asked for before, which is like a popular song. But no one's ever asked for it before. I'm like,
yeah, right. I got asked by a tiny person at my gig Sunday week ago for a song called This Is Me.
Yeah.
From the Greatest Showman soundtrack. Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah.
Well,
I haven't heard it.
Okay.
I'm agreeing if you say yeah.
No.
It's not a great song.
It's one of
Remember
those...
I love Kesha.
Yeah, she's great. The songs in The Greatest Showman are not very good songs.
Yeah.
The movie is really enjoyable. The performances of those songs are great performances. Like the singers they've got doing it, like even in the film, like awesome. But they're very pop songs. Mm. They're not theatre.
Yeah.
And show songs.
Sure.
And so
they're pop songs. They're verse chorus.
Hooky four chord songs.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There's nothing to them and. The thing that makes them, I think, quite amazing is the performances of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this child came again on Sunday and asked me for the same song, and I hadn't listened to it. The week before, of course, I'd said, I actually haven't seen The Greatest Showman, and she berated me. She's probably 5, maybe 6 years old. Good beautiful parenting. Little girl. What, for berating me?
Yeah.
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 What
do you mean you haven't... What? What? put your dish in the dishwasher. You're not doing another set until you've done the dishes.
So she came and she asked again this week. And I, as soon as she said it, I realised. But I couldn't remember that it was from the soundtrack. So then it was that whole conversation of, do you know who sings it? And she said, no, I'll go and find out. And then as she was walking back to her parents' table, some guy over here said, Greatest Showman. It's like, that's right.
If you'd known the song, you could have responded the fact that you hadn't had time to do it or that you were busy and this is you. So, like, get off my case. This is me.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, kids certainly have a far better chance of getting their request learned than adults. Yeah, don't want to disappoint kids. I played the Snappy Tom theme song 2 weeks in a row at that gig.
They're going to get disappointed by someone soon enough. It may as well not be you. I'm joking and not joking as well.
Oh my God! Did you just joking, not joking me?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know.
Hmm. Well, I haven't heard it. It'll be another Sunday soon, and it'll be school holidays, so she's probably likely to come back, so I really ought to...
So you're going to quit? Why can we don't do that gig anymore? People came. Okay, I didn't want them to.
I love that gig.
I know, I was joking.
Two together on the Sunday, that one. Yeah, that's good. So seafood satay pie.
Oh.
1,700 pies they tried.
Why?
No, pie.
Yeah. Why?
What do you mean? Pies are the best.
I don't understand.
Why pies are the best?
No.
Pies are so good.
I just don't understand why you have to know which pie's the best. I don't understand why it fucking matters. What a bunch of fucking morons. Who tries that many pies to see which pie is the best? For why? What? I don't understand. What an absurd way to spend your time.
I mean, the next thing
you know, they're going to do a fucking pie podcast.
A pie cast?
Yeah, well, I was like just kind of reflecting on absurd ways to spend your time.
Huh. So you wouldn't try one?
I wouldn't try 1,700.
Do you reckon the same person tried them all?
I think they would have to, otherwise you couldn't possibly...
I know, right?
You couldn't possibly have a judge it otherwise.
I know. I agree.
And I think you'd have to... I think you'd have to only have one a day because your palate would be affected.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, once you've had a taste of a pie...
No.
How many... What process do you have to do to cleanse the palate in order to judge the next pie?
Just rinse it out with water like you do when you're wine tasting.
Bah, nah. Yeah. That's a corrupted system.
Corrupted?
Yeah. That's a corrupt system.
Wow.
There's no way you're cleansing a palate.
Fake pies.
Yeah. I imagine. See, I'd be more interested to find out which pies are the most fake.
Hmm?
Well, like which pies have got the most crap in them. That'd be interesting.
That's been done.
Maybe not crap, but you know, I'm sure you'd find crap.
Yeah, no, that's definitely been done.
I just don't understand. Like, we've been judged the best this. It's like, really? Who gives a shit? Obviously someone. Good on them. Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
I love pies.
Okay.
Lovely flaky pastry and it's in its own dish. Ooh. And then you... It's... beautiful and crisp and soft in the middle. And
this food. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. All the more reason not to eat pies, I believe.
I can't remember the last time I ate a pie.
I've never eaten one like that.
You're doing it wrong.
Well, I do most things incorrectly.
Is that true?
Mm.
That's not true.
Well,
you play an A chord incorrectly.
What do you mean?
It's weird. Your fingers are weird.
I play all chords weird. People look at the way I play guitar and they think, what the hell? Play my E chord with just those three fingers and a D chord like that. Yeah.
I don't even know what those chords are.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for guitarists who try and follow along. Just follow my hands. It's like your fingers don't even go in the right spot. What's that?
Which fingers do you use to play an E chord?
These three.
Yeah, right. That is weird.
Yeah. I play it as if I'm going to... The next thing I do is a bar chord.
Yeah, yeah.
Which quite often, well, depending on what key you're in, but quite often it is.
It's quite efficient.
Because from there as well, if you go to that like that F sharp minor chord without the bass note, you use those three fingers.
Who goes to the F sharp without making a bass note?
How to make gravy? That shape. So these two fingers stay in the same formation, and you just change from that one to that one.
No bass note.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I hardly ever play an F sharp bass note for an F sharp chord.
It's ridiculous. Doesn't
make any sense. It implies there's an F sharp still in the chord. It's fine. What?
Have you ever seen a 12 string bass?
Yes.
In the flesh?
No.
Me either.
Yeah.
That's all. Okay. We're doing an original gig together next week.
On Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Thursday today.
I've still got
Or perhaps Friday. Or perhaps Saturday.
Yeah. I've still got two bridges to write.
Oh, shit. I've still got two songs to write.
Yeah.
Did you write three new songs as well?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Was that the bargain we had? That I said I'd try and write three new songs and you said you would too?
Yes. But what I was hoping is that you would write one.
Well, I have.
Because it's been, you know, like you said, it's been 4.5 years or so since you've written a song, or one of your own songs. And I thought, if I say, Matt, you've got to have three new songs.
It's been 4.5 years since I've written one of my own songs.
Yeah. What I mean is...
Hopefully the one I just wrote doesn't sound like someone else's.
Hopefully.
Mm.
We'll find out Monday.
I promise nothing.
Well, what I hoped would be you'd really put you're like, oh, I've got to write three, and you get one, and you go, I'm really happy with that one, and that's enough, and I'll bring one of the two of the others back.
I'm happy with the one I've just written.
Okay.
No, I am. yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Freddie Wimpulse.
Yeah. We need a sixth musician. I have Rich.
Is there not?
Sam's not going to do it. I asked him and he said, I'll get, can you check in with me again later? And so I checked in with him again Monday. And he said, oh, no, I've got an early gig. I can't come. So... Oh. I have reached out to someone. I'm yet to hear back from him.
Okay.
But I was very, I don't know what the word is.
No, but neither do I. Excited, disappointed.
No.
Angry.
I've tried to.
Happy.
I tried to think about the sexes of who will be playing, and there will be three ladies playing, and. You and I, and so it's like, you know.
So you've organised this night?
This night. Oh. So obviously not very well, because it's like 5 days out, we still need another person. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you were organising it.
Craig asked, because he's doing his album launch and all that stuff, he said, like, I'm a bit flat out, so would you like to do a night?
Can you explain Songs in the South to people?
Songs in the South is Craig Johnson's Mr. Delsinki. He's once a month. Oh, I don't know if this is going to work. I think you should come this way. Yep. He's once a month Monday night music night where we get six original artists to play three, possibly four songs each in a round robin, but we have two sets. So three people in the first set. And, you know, this person plays a song, then that person, and it keeps going around until everyone's played three times, then a bit of a break, and then the same thing again at the end.
Wait, what happens?
Exactly. So when Matt listens back to the podcast to write the notes, he'll know what's happening on Monday night. Yeah.
I've only been to one of them.
The one
How
that
many have you done?
This will be my third that I've done.
Okay.
So it'll be like maybe the six I've been to.
Right.
Because it's Monday, I try to go. I get to hear some really good songs, some dudes and dudettes. There's a question now with all this kind of, you know, political correctness, argy-bargy. Like, you know, I can say dudes and mean everyone.
Of course you can.
I don't have to say dudettes.
No.
And if I do say dudettes, I'm being sexist, aren't I?
No,
I'm not. Great, thanks. Because I didn't think I was.
And by the way, I don't know if I can be the arbiter of this sort of thing.
You can. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with being sexy.
No.
Yeah, it's hard.
Dude, it's such a fucking, it's a debacle. We've painted ourselves into a corner in society now, and there's no way out.
Yeah, there is.
Don wrote a song about that.
Yeah. That was an easy way out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Tesla wrote No Way Out.
I don't know it.
There's no way out, no way out. I've been living in hell.
Don't know it.
It's on Five Man Acoustical Jam, which I have on VHS.
Shit.
Which I paid £35 for.
Pounds!
Pounds. In 1994.
That's like 12
in
19, kilos.
In 1994.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's got to be about $100 in today's money.
Hmm.
Well worth it, by the way. Matt agrees.
So I think I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
I reckon I'm going to be nervous.
Ah, yeah, I always am.
Are you?
Yeah. I don't like doing original gigs. I'm scared of them. That's why I do all these Facebook Live things. So eventually when I do another original gig, you know, I'll be like, oh, I know these songs.
Yeah, right.
Because I've played them once a week for...
Oh. You know, I only get nervous... before any gig, if I'm underprepared.
Oh, that's why I'm nervous about
really?
All gigs. Yeah.
All gigs.
All gigs. I'm underprepared. I'm either musically underprepared or unprepared to deal with whoever is in front of me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I
love playing, and I think I do like the nervousness, and even in familiar places. I can just get up and do it, but I'm always nervous. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm never nervous.
Except for original
music. Except for, well, no, I don't know. And I actually, when I think about it, like I don't get keyed up thinking about it. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll use charts because I won't be able to remember my own stuff well enough. But
that's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so. I have charts too because fucking know it.
I'll have only just written these songs.
Well, that's
songs.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So my plan is to try and write one tomorrow and one Thursday.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one took me 2 hours, so. Yeah.
That's efficient.
Well, I mean, that's if it's any good. It doesn't matter if something only takes you half an hour to do, but it's shit hours, it doesn't. I think the shine gets taken off a little bit.
My friend Abby, do you know Abby? You've met Abby a few times. She's been a few of our gigs at Crowd.
Oh, I know human. Yeah.
So Abby is
lovely.
Lovely and a practicing Christian. And so I bring that up because she suggested I watch a film called Silence is Not Good in Podcasts. That's not the name of the film.
No.
It's a good name for a film.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of podcasts, do you know Marc Maron?
Yes.
Have you seen his TV show on Netflix?
No.
He's nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good. So he's got a Netflix show, which is about him being a podcaster, and of course everyone going, can you make money out of that? Like, yes, I'm doing great. I'm like number 5 on iTunes. And then everyone goes, really? It's quite good.
We're not number 5 on iTunes.
No, we're not.
But very few ratings and reviews. That's because we don't ask enough.
Is it?
Every podcast I listen to, not every podcast, many of them.
Okay.
Because it does help.
Do we need to do... Do we need to...
A fundraising drive?
No.
For ratings and reviews? Yes.
I was going to say, do we need to analyse and update our podcasting shtick? To, like, this is how you should podcast. Because I don't...
What do you mean?
We just say, like, people ask for reviews. Well, I mean, I don't know what they do. Like,
they say, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Cool. And they're quite blatant about it.
Right.
Yeah. Because it helps. Because it puts you on iTunes radar, which means they promote you.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So you sort of, yeah.
Fuck the system. Don't do it. Don't bother. Yeah.
Could you though, please?
That'd be great.
So the name of this film...
The name of this film is...
You were hoping to creep up on it from behind,
yeah,
weren't
it really
you?
Was.
Also not the name of the film.
Anyway, it'll come to me. Anyway, it's about this band.
Also not the name of the film.
This Christian band. And who, you know, they really... This kid had an abusive father, you know, mum left because of the abusive father. He left home, joined a band. He busted his knee. And then because in high school he couldn't play football anymore, then he needed another elective and everything was full. The only thing that wasn't full was glee club. So he went to glee club and the teacher said, we need a sound person, go and play with the sound stuff. And then apparently what happened is one day he had the headphones on and they were packing everything up and he was singing along to his Walkman, and they made him the lead in Oklahoma based on that, no audition. And anyway, so he became a singer and he joined this band, and they tried to get a record deal but couldn't. And then till he wrote this song, and it became it's like the biggest Christian country song in history. It's like, and it's a true story. So this film is a true story. So anyway, Abby recommended that I watch it, and I don't know what it. So of course it's related to this story because he's like, I wrote it in 20 minutes. You know, if I could only imagine. It's super simple, basic song. And of course, you know, he's like, it took me 20 minutes to write. And the person in the film says, I only watched it maybe a week ago. No, it took you a whole life to write the song because it's a real thing. And Amy Grant was going to release it as a single.
Oh, wow.
And then she decided that she had to give it back to the band to release. And so they gave it back to the band and it became this huge, amazing song.
Okay, that's a good story.
I'm going to look it up because we're allowed to do that with technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called If I Can Only Imagine.
You should make your brain remember it.
Yep. This is not going to make my brain remember it, is it?
No. What, looking it up?
Dennis Quaid's in it. I like Dennis Quaid. He's cool.
He's cool.
It's currently, this film is currently the number one selling DVD in America.
Oh, it's a new film?
Yeah, it's brand new.
Oh.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, right.
That's the name of the song. That's the name of the film. It is, it's a true story based on Bart. He's the lead singer of the band. Apparently, how's this? It cost $7 million to make.
Oh, wow.
It's made $83 million at the box office.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lovely story. Worldwide?
America?
America only.
Far out. Yeah,
it's the number one DVD in America.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good story.
Good story. But that idea of, you know, I just sat down and wrote this song one day.
Hmm.
And there's a really nice montage in the film where he's flicking back through it. So he goes to this kind of camp when he's a kid, like church camp, and they give him a journal, and he draws pictures and he writes little notes in it, and he's looking back on it as an adult, like he's gone back home after the band got told that, you know, they weren't going to get a record deal out of this gig, whatever. And he's flipping back through, and he's seen that on multiple pages he's written "I Can Only Imagine," and that's the thing. So then he just writes this song. But I like that because they kind of reference this book that he'd been. These books that he'd been, journals that he'd been writing in since he was a kid. Yes, it's true. It's good. It's powerful. That whoever is the lead actor guy, this guy, J. Michael Finley, can sing.
Yeah, right.
Great singer.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So it's good. It's interesting. There you go. Took me a long time to explain that. I apologise.
It's good. I watched Pay It Forward last night.
Oh, with the I See Dead People kid.
Fuck, you're good at stuff.
Yeah. Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Helen Hunt. And He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Voldemort.
Ralph Fiennes.
Voldemort's got no nose.
Ooh, how does he smell?
Terrible.
Good.
Thanks, man.
Good team.
Yeah, it's my friend Jessie May's favourite film of all time.
Right.
And she's never been able to get it here in Australia.
Can't buy it.
Apparently not.
Right.
So I found it.
Right.
Found it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. On iTunes or one of those providers. In case the FBI is listening. Yeah. John Bon Jovi's in it.
Yes, he is. He's a bit of a jerk in it.
He is. He's not in it for long.
No.
But he's in the opening credits. Fucking hell.
He's a big name.
He could have a manager, wouldn't it?
Well, he's a big name. John Bon Jovi is a draw card kind of name. I watched that at the Ballarat Cinema.
Okay.
In between soundcheck and a gig.
Did you?
Once upon a time, by myself.
John wrote a song about that.
In between soundcheck and a gig.
No, once upon a time.
By myself. Oh, that was a sequel.
Oh, no, that was Eric Carmen, surely.
Oh, mama, elf. Sorry, that was Tolkien.
I was going to say it was... can't do it.
Will Ferrell.
Thank you, I couldn't get his name. But that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, yeah. I'm not good at films. I forget.
Have you ever made one?
So, we gotta go.
I mean, like a student film or something like that.
Oh, I think we all learned something by the end of it.
I just don't know how to rephrase the question.
I haven't.
Cool. I was in a student film once called The One Wishes.
Eh?
So a genie comes out from behind a bush and says, "You've got one wishes." With an English accent.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Fuck, you've done some stuff.
Weird, weird.
Have you got it?
I don't know if I own a copy. And to be honest... although it was great fun to make, and I think the script was really wacky, because it turns out, like, I'm the lead character, and I'm this, like, total like nutcase, and I kidnap this famous country singer.
Are you the genie?
No, no, no. I'm the. Right. I find a lamp.
You're the protagonist.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to be like a famous country music singer. All right. So I kidnap the famous country music singer and impersonate him. And at some point, I go through McDonald's drive-through with my guitar and order. I wrote a song like to order food. I want 10 Big Macs in a field of fish. I remember the song.
Can we do it in the Facebook Live thing later?
Maybe not. No.
Was that actually the melody?
I want 10 Big Macs in a field of fish, a quarter pounder, and a regular chips. Sorry, baby, I just realized you don't call them chips, you call them fries. That's a regular fries and a Happy Meal. When I've eaten this, I wonder how I feel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, keeps going and going. And then the great thing, it was like one take at McDonald's drive-thru. I finished the song, go like this. And she goes, just drive-thru, thanks. The girl, whoever it was like...
Brilliant.
Yeah, she just totally on board.
Was your order correct?
I didn't actually get anything.
What?
Yeah. I think she gave up. That's too fast. Because she didn't repeat it back to me.
Yeah, right.
No, they usually go, so that's 10 Big Macs in it. Just drive through, thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Good fun times.
Yeah, right. Have you? I feel like you and I have talked about filmmaking on here before, haven't we? Didn't I ask you if you ever wanted to make a film?
I don't know. I don't remember it. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Yeah, right. Because I speak with a lot of people, so sometimes I forget the conversations I've had and where I've had them. And because you and I do this once a week, I often think conversations I've had with other people have been conversations I've had with you on camera.
That makes sense. I'm not offended at all.
So, what?
Not offended.
Neither you should be, dickhead.
I'm offended now. Fuckface.
I'd love... That was actually the name of the... So,
it's got a special folder on a special hard drive.
I don't know where I'd find the time, energy, wherewithal to make a film, but I would... I'm inspired by Kevin Smith's journey and story to make a film. A film.
Mm.
It's that whole, you know, everyone's got one novel in them kind of thing. So I don't know if I'd ever be a filmmaker. Well, by definition, I'd be a filmmaker if I made a film. But yeah, and I don't have a compelling story. There's nothing that's been bubbling away under the surface that I'd want to kind of blah, blah, blah. But
I don't think anyone has one until they, in a sense, you have to know a lot about story. Like you really have to know story and really study it. There's no one that just goes, oh, I think I'll make a film. Like they are... Those people, I mean, whenever you hear a podcast or you see an interview, they're just so remarkably immersed in the idea of storytelling.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And that's how they find their stories, because they understand what makes something compelling. Because we have even our own life stories of what even... You can turn anyone's life into a compelling film if you understand story, but most people go, oh, I'm just a normal person.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And some of those remarkable stories are just told well. Like some of those films where it's about someone's life, they're just like, that's someone who just knows how to pick apart a story. And even things like the, you know, Australian Idol and things like that, when they get that act and they talk about this person's life and their journey, like the way they take... just the smallest elements of that person's life and then highlight that as their story to make them a compelling character. That's serious skill to be able to do that and make people... Because...
To make them compelling.
All people are extraordinary. All people's lives are. But to whittle that down to a 90-minute film, that's really hard.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is why so often the films that they make are about ridiculously stupid things that couldn't possibly be true. Like, you know, like ex-army vets who become vigilantes. you know, the Batman kind of stories. These things are just like so absurd. Those plot lines are so absurd, right? But quite often, what is about the story is very human.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly basic, like the revenge stuff, or they're trying to deal with like
all those superheroes have got that fundamental backstory.
Yeah,
they've all got some tragedy that befell them early. Well,
which
in
is
their
what
lives
we can all relate to. Like, that's right. Whether it's someone bullied. I mean, everyone's been bullied in some kind of way. Or someone had a dodgy boss or a teacher that was a jerk or something like that. Many people, lost a family member or a. Or somewhere really close to them in tragic circumstances, or even something as simple as moving house. Like, I was 7 years old and we moved house and I lost my best friend and I never saw him again. It was like remarkably traumatic, and I feel ridiculous that I still think about, I'm not saying it's me, but other people do. Mm. And much of the trauma that people seem to express when they finally work out how to express is they feel ashamed of how something that they don't think should be a big deal had a massive effect on them.
Yeah.
And so they go, I know it was only this. It's like, man, if that upset you, that upset you. Like, if that was hard for you to deal with, it was hard for you to deal with.
When I was a kid, my home ran away from me.
Wizard of Oz?
No, I grew up in the Wild West. We lived in a covered wagon and I fell out.
Well, it rolled away. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about making a movie, mate. You've got to be specific about the plot.
Yeah, similar but different. I mean, the same but a different subject. The people who I come into contact with who are going through a rough time and try to rationalise how they feel about their terrible time by saying, but, you know, other people have got it way worse than me. It's like... It's completely okay to feel bad about your situation and to deal with it, you know, the best you can, or and deal with whatever you're feeling about that. And the last thing you really want to do is exacerbate how awful you feel by feeling guilty about feeling bad about it because other people have got it worse. It's like, no, this is the thing you find yourself in.
Mm.
It's okay.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard. That stuff's hard.
Mm. So there.
Takes a little while to be on Earth to work out that stuff, I think. Unless you're very special and you know it.
Clap your hands.
Pardon?
If you're special and you know it. I'm here to help, dude.
That's not fair. Hmm? Well, special people have trouble clapping their hands.
Whoa, dude. Yeah. What? What just happened then?
I don't know. I just thought I'd be risque.
Risque?
Yeah. Risky.
That's twice we've made a reference to Tom Cruise in two podcasts.
Was that risque business?
Risque business, yes. Yes.
Nice.
I think that's what I called it last time we spoke about this. Yeah. I think it might have flown under the radar somehow, that pronunciation. I reckon you were talking at the same time.
Mm. That's how pronunciation works.
What?
Well, but you have to be talking at the same time.
To
pronounce things.
Stop it. Anyway. Mm. So, yes. What are the important things people have to know?
Monday, Freddie Wimpole's. Get there at 7:30. You get there at 7:30. I'm taking the PA, so if it sounds terrible, it's my fault. So that's Monday, the... 2nd of July.
Monday the 2nd of July.
Yep.
7th. So, Freddie Wimpole's, Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. 10 days before my birthday?
The 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie's the 11th. Mm. I ask you this every year.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to check.
Apparently I get Richie's birthday wrong every year by a day. I always message him on the 10th, I'm told.
Well.
I don't think that's true, but anyway.
As my dad says, you can never be on time. You're either early or you're late.
Don't start all that again.
Mm.
Don't start that old, the future is now business.
Now. 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 Now.
Mm?
That's interesting too, isn't it? God, I say that all the time. I find things really interesting.
Mm.
I'm so sorry. Because there's that part of our, in reality, our experience is always, we're always seeing the future, aren't we? Because in the idea that we're seeing the future, because by the time we have, so much of what we do is try to predict what is about to happen. Like, because we recognize.
I'm trying to predict what's going to happen right now.
So we, but what we do is we try to predict what's going to happen, sure, in order to respond in real time to what's happening. So we're actually always seeing the future, but responding to the past. So the idea is you're always predicting and like seeing the future, but you're actually always responding to something that's already happened. That's weird. And then most of our thought process, well, all of our thought process is influenced by.
Do you mean like when you're driving home from a situation and saying, God, what I should have said was.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, no.
No.
But that's something I definitely experience.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, we've been through this before. Our very first podcast that we never aired, that we practiced, we had a whole conversation about me talking to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. How often most of my day I spend talking to myself actually out loud.
We have spoken about that on here as well. It's weird.
Mm. It is a great benefit of getting a pet. So you can talk to yourself, but directing it towards the animal. What are we going to do today? What do you think? What should I do about this? I can't work out whether to buy one of these or buy one of these. What do you
reckon? And you say it out loud.
Yeah, 100%.
All the time. Wow.
Yeah.
It's wacky.
Occasionally I see one of those like things, you know, five signs of, you know, intelligent people. And apparently talking to yourself out loud, you know, signifies you're intelligent. But I can't help but think that that's just been put together by someone who really wants to make other people like me feel good about themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of lists out there.
Mm. Yeah.
If you read them all, you'd be in danger of capsizing.
And then you'd be listless. What else? Is there anything else pressing that we need to tell anyone about?
No, I think there's anything else sort of massive going on at the moment.
We need to find a venue to do another live podcast.
Yep.
And then follow that up with an original gig with you and I playing our own songs together.
Is that what we need to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's our next project.
Okay.
I think I've decided that's what I want our next project to be, and hopefully Matt will come around to the idea. Yeah.
You know me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty easy going. I got heaps of time up my sleeve. I'm
so much time.
I'm happy to.
Yeah.
I'll say yes to almost anything. So unsure about the poo throwing. That's
so good that you said that, because most people say, oh, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy. Wow. I don't have enough time. It's like, man, you got the same amount of time as everyone else.
Mm.
I mean, everyone's got time. Like, we literally all have the same amount of time. It's just that, you know, how you know, delegate that time.
Yeah. Mm. Certainly, there's no one who can't find a better way to spend their time, to apportion their time differently, and presumably therefore better, be able to, I don't know, fit something else in. Like, you know, I know it's the old adage of if you want something done, ask a busy person, but certainly all the times that I think, I can't fit anything else in, lo and behold, you fit the next thing in.
Yeah,
something happens, circumstances change, and you're forced to.
I heard circumcisions then. Something happens, circumcisions.
Yeah.
Circumcisions change.
Yeah. I don't know if circumcisions change. I don't think it grows back spontaneously.
Let's do that again. Action.
Do you know any adults who have been circumcised?
As adults?
Yeah, adult men.
No, not that. Well, certainly not that I've ever been tipped
off
to.
Yeah, I do. Sorry, dude. I trod on you.
I think it's a banana skin.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Just one, not me.
Yeah, all right. For medical reasons or for aesthetic reasons?
I don't know the answer. I actually don't know him well enough to have ever
Or because a partner says, I much prefer it like this, you should get that done.
Oh.
Yeah.
You circumcised?
No.
Really?
Yeah, my parents weren't that optimistic.
Okay.
We don't know how big it's going to get.
Oh, dear.
We're not chopping half of it off before we know how big it's going to be.
I used to be in a band with a Macedonian guy who wasn't and used to always refer to it as his party hat.
Yeah.
So the moment you said no, all I was singing was party hat to the theme song of Spider-Man.
Party hat. Yeah. Does whatever a party hat does.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But also picturing your penis.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Also going to be in the show notes.
That's the name
of my picture of Tom's penis.
That's the name of our first show. It's a documentary. First movie.
Surely it's a cockumentary.
Well, it's feature length.
Ah, good. That's good. With a trailer.
Yeah. And a preview.
And a big set of nuts.
Well, you have something to munch on while you're watching a movie.
Are you going to do snippets this week?
Oh, surely they circumcisions.
extenuating circumcisions.
Unbelievable.
Should we go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for conjoining us.
Yeah, well, we can do that.
Well, yeah. That's how
it's called docking.
I don't know what that means, but
I think you do.
But I have a wild imagination. Which I'm going to tame for the rest of this recording. We will see you again next week.
This is Dom.
This is Matt. Give us a 5-star review. I think we've earned it. Bye.